Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, greetings everybody from one of my favorite places, Bern, Switzerland. B-E-R-N, Switzerland. Yes, that is where I am right now in the hotel lobby of the Hotel Ambassador. I just arrived here about 30 minutes ago with a friend of mine that's on a short, quick trip with me. And thank heavens for Google, who reminded me that I have a radio show to do at 9 p.m. Swiss time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I've been having so much fun on this little adventure, I probably would have forgotten all about the radio show, I hate to admit. But I'm glad Google reminded me, and I thought, you know, I did this about 3 months ago from the Rome airport, and anytime I have a chance to do one of these on the road from a unique place, I'm an idiot if I don't take advantage of that opportunity. So I am literally sitting in the lobby of the Hotel Ambassador in Bern, Switzerland. Nobody is in the lobby except the really kind people that are over behind the receptionist desk. My friend is upstairs in the room, and I am over here in the corner of the lobby with my European power converter plugged into the wall so I can charge the phone while I'm doing the show. So this is just really a great thing and an awful lot of fun, and I'll have to just tell you a little bit about this. And the way we'll hook it into the whole junk removal business is just to tell you that, you know, and I've mentioned this before, but I'll keep saying it, you get one shot at life. And I believe it was meant to be an adventure. And sometimes things turn against you and it becomes anything but an adventure. But when you live in a free country and you have all the niceties that we have and all this kind of stuff, I mean, there's really no excuse, in my opinion, to make your life an adventure, which means you're having fun and you're doing this stuff that puts a smile on your face. So I just made some notes on the phone in the last 30 minutes of stuff to talk about. I have been to Bern, Switzerland before. I was here in 1979 when I was 21. And the reason I came here, and it has repeated itself now almost 50 years later, I came here when I was 21 with two other guys that were the same age, having finished our missionary work for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints out in Missouri. We decided to go around the world in 80 days after that missionary work was done. So we came home from our assignments there. We worked for the summer, saved us some money, and in fall, in September, we took off and went around the world in 80 days. If you want to read about that adventure, go to Amazon and look up a book called Around the World in 88 Days and 88 Things I Learned Along the Way. That's my journal uploaded into a book that you can pick up on Amazon. And when you look at the cover of the book, I'm the guy on the third camel on the right, sitting there in front of the pyramids in Egypt. But I came to Bern back when I was 21 because I got pickpocketed in Egypt. And I didn't know it at the time. It took me about an hour to realize I'd been pickpocketed. And I'll tell you, if you want to pickpocket somebody, here's one way to do it, because this kind of worked. You team up with somebody, you have your buddy walking beside a bicycle, walking towards the guinea pig, which was me. And then you have the teammate behind me following me. And as soon as the gentleman with the bicycle gets a few feet in front of me, you turn the steering wheel so that it's now perpendicular to the frame of the bike, and you turn it right in front of me and where I'm walking so that I actually fall over the steering wheel in kind of a bent over, position. Then, because my attention is distracted for my safety and because of this idiot that turned the wheel of the bike in front of me, the teammate from behind grabs my wallet out of my jeans, and I won't feel it or even think about it because I'm too concerned about the fact that I'm bent over the front tire of a bicycle. Now, I'm here to tell you that worked. And back in those days, back in 1979, I had a billfold separate from my wallet that I kept all the important stuff in, like my passport, my traveler's checks, which we used back in those days, and credit card and stuff like that. So none of that was lost, but in my wallet, I kept a thing called a temple recommend. A temple recommend is basically your pass that gets you in to the temples around the world for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that's a big deal to us. Those are the most, spiritual buildings on the planet as far as we're concerned. So that was a big deal. And we had wanted to visit some of these temples as we went around the world, and the one we had in Europe at the time. We had one in London, and we had one in Bern, Switzerland, and probably some more. But Bern was a big deal, so we came to Bern. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to educate you a little bit on what members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do to get into their own temple. You have to be interviewed every 2 years by your ecclesiastical leader and by their ecclesiastical leader. So let's just say your pastor or your bishop or one of his counselors will sit down with you. There's some standard questions, about 13 or 14 questions, that basically are designed to let you share with somebody how you're doing spiritually and if you're keeping some of the main commandments that are important to God and to the church. So there's a standard group of questions. So you sit down with interviewer number one, let's say he's your bishop. He asks you those questions, you answer those questions, and he then signs a little recommend, a pass, basically. But then you have to go to the second level, and you have to go to the ecclesiastical leaders that oversee the bishop, and you sit down with them. The same questions are asked of you. You give your answers just like you did before, but it's basically a two-person system. And then the second person signs it for you, and it's uploaded into the computer, and you're good for 2 years. So this morning, when I went to the Paris, France temple, I just pull out that little recommend sheet. It's got a barcode on it. I scan it at the front desk, and whammo, I'm in, and everything's good. They know my name. They welcome me, etc. Well, if you lose that piece of paper, we didn't have, of course, the scanning ability back in 1979. If you lose that piece of paper, which is what I lost because it was in my wallet, I can't get into the temple again without getting those two interviews redone. And I can't do those because I'm not back in my home Utah congregation where I could arrange to do that. So a wonderful guy named Dan Rona, who is a very famous tour guide for Latter-day Saint tours in Jerusalem and happened to be the pastor of the local congregation in Jerusalem. When we went to Jerusalem and visited there, I told him about my dilemma, and he said, hey, I can cover this for you. I will do this as though I'm your pastor, and I'll ask you these questions, and based on what you tell me, then I can sign it. And then you just got to find somebody who's, higher up than me, so to speak, that can be your second level to do that. Well, he did that. Bless Dan Rona's heart. He did that, and I was halfway home to being able to get back into our own temples again. The next place to go to where it logically fit in would be to talk to the temple president of the Bern, Switzerland temple, who a guy named Percy Fetcher, F-E-T-C-H-E-R. Percy and his family are come from an architectural background. They're from Salt Lake City. They're a very well-known and well-to-do family. And Percy had to he was the president then, so President Fetcher had to call one of his superiors in Salt Lake City. He woke him up at 4:30 in the morning, and the gentleman in Salt Lake City gave President Percy Fetzer, gave him permission to interview me as though he was my second-level church leader. And so he did, and I passed that one, and he signed it off. So I had basically a bishop from Jerusalem and another person from Switzerland that signed me off, so that as I continued to travel around the world, I could get into the temple with my buddies who did not get pickpocketed in Egypt. Well, there you go. So the last time I was in Bern, Switzerland, was when I was 21. And I had this dilemma, and I went to the temple, and I talked to President Fetzer to see if he could sign off for me and get me this recommend finished. So the Bern, Switzerland temple is a very important place to me on the planet because of what happened to me nearly 50 years ago when I came through here. And now here I am back again tomorrow to go revisit it, and I'm sure I'm going to have a great experience again. I'm here, I'm in Europe, because I'm here to visit two more of our temples. The first one is in Paris, France, where I was this morning. We'll talk about that in a minute. The second one is here in Bern, Switzerland. We have about 12 of these scattered throughout Europe and Scandinavia, basically from Lisbon to Helsinki. And I have visited all of these same type of buildings in the U.S. and Canada, so I'm starting to visit a bunch of them in Europe. I came to Europe to visit the first one, which is in Rome, in May for my 67th birthday, and I had so much fun. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go visit another one in Europe in 3 months, which is basically where I am now, and celebrate my 66th birthday. Now, there's a thought for you. You can actually celebrate a birthday in the past by doing something cool today, and no one's going to know the difference, right? That's, I think, healthy thinking. So, greetings from Bern, Switzerland. We came down here this morning, or this afternoon, actually, on the trains from Paris, and I'll talk a little bit about the train system as well. So, I'm on a little spiritual/travel adventure right now, and I'm just really having a blast doing what I'm doing. So, I've got to put out something there for people to understand, because this has not been a 100% smooth journey for me. Before I left, I checked my Capital One credit card on my app. I had a certain amount of credit left on the card. I took a bunch of cash, meaning thousands of dollars, down to the ATM and paid the bill with that, and all of a sudden my credit line increased, let's say, to $3,000 or $4,000. And I had some additional expenses to pick up for the trip. But I basically wanted to come here with $2,000 of credit that I could use on the credit card. That's all. I don't need more than that for like 3 days, 4 days total. So I came here, and that's the only credit card I have. I also have a debit card that had some money on it available. But I was going to just basically use this credit card for this trip. Well, on the flight, as I got to Paris, something on the flight, I can't remember where it was, or maybe it was actually in New York before we left New York, some small purchase got declined at a little gift shop on the credit card. And I went, how can that be? So I took the debit card out, I bought the purchase, and then we took off and flew across the Atlantic. And as I landed in Paris, I pulled up my phone, checked on my credit card, and it showed zero available credit. Now, the day before, it had shown $1,800 of credit, and then I put another couple of $1,000 in there just to make sure. Now, all of a sudden, I have zero credit, which brings me to the issue. Now, you can imagine, especially when you've got a guest or a friend with you, and you show up in Paris, and all of a sudden, you can't use your credit card. And boy, was I mad. And what happened, as you go in on the credit card app, you look at the transactions, and a big transaction for thousands of dollars from a local company that I rent trucks from came through the day before, and it was a complete surprise to me. The reason I mention this, and I welcome anybody out there in the banking industry who understands the difference between authorizing a purchase and capturing a purchase when you're a credit card vendor, to call the show and teach me a little bit about this, because apparently the rental truck company, when I go into the counter and they say, okay, it's going to cost you $700 to rent this truck for a week, can we see your credit card? I give them the credit card, and they run the card, right? Well, in my mind, that means I just paid $700 to have the truck for the next week. I did it the week after, the week after, and the week after, right? Same process. But they're not capturing the payment when they run the card. They're authorizing the payment for a certain amount of money. Well, the credit card company can go in and get rid of those authorizations. They actually fall off, is apparently the term. After 5 or 10 days, they can fall off. And so, in my mind, my truck's been paid for, and all I need to worry about is the next week that I'm doing. But then all of a sudden, at the end of the month, $4,000 comes through, and it wipes out my available credit, and it puts me $2,000 overdraft, over my credit line. And the frustration is that I checked it on the app. I went by what's on the app. The credit card company knows if there's authorizations. I went in and put more cash in just to be safe, and all of a sudden I'm screwed, and I just landed in Paris. You can imagine how you would feel, right? Well, that's how I felt. And I said some words I probably shouldn't have said. I was dealing with the surprise of this, and literally as I was coming off the plane, I was on the phone with the truck rental people and then the credit card people. And basically they both blame the other guy. You know, that doesn't help me at all. So anyway, that was how I landed. And it was a complete surprise to me, but I've been in worse situations, believe it or not. And when we come back from our first break here, I'll tell you how I handled this and what I did. But boy, if you can teach me something about this whole capture and authorization stuff that a credit card company does, call the show right now and tell me. It's 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show with Alan Cook, coming to you live from Bern, Switzerland. We'll take a break for a minute, and then we'll be back and tell you some more stories.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you from the lobby of the Hotel Ambassador in Bern, Switzerland, where I arrived with a friend here about an hour ago. I'm down here in the corner of the lobby, juicing up the phone with my European charger, having a blast, telling you about the welcome present I got when all of a sudden my amount that I had on my credit card to use for this trip was wiped out, unbeknownst to me. And how I dealt with that. So I'll come back to that story in a minute. I'm going to go down this outline that I put down just to kind of guide me through this show. to hit some of the highlights. I live in Washington, D.C., but if you can get up to JFK Airport in New York, you can fly to Europe one way, nonstop, for about $180. That's what I've done twice now on one of my new favorite airlines called Norse Airways, N-O-R-S-E Airways. These guys have flights that leave at about midnight and go across the Atlantic Ocean to Berlin, to Rome, to Paris. The first time I used these guys, I paid $180 and I did nonstop 8-hour flight to Rome. That was in May. Now I've used them a second time, 6-hour nonstop flight to Paris. And I have to just brag about these guys a little bit. The planes that we fly on are 787s. I believe that's the biggest plane out there. I could be wrong. It's a large plane. When you walk on the plane, you have a row of people on your right-hand side that's 3 seats wide. Then you have three seats, I think, in the middle. And then you have 3 seats on the far left. And I don't know what that adds up to for the number of rows. I guess it's 40 rows, approximately, something like that. And I guess you have 9 a piece. So probably 300 to 350 seats are there. And this plane has 2 engines, right? And it flies at 600 miles an hour at 39,000 feet. And the temperature outside the aircraft is a minus 74 degrees as you're flying 600 miles an hour across the Atlantic. Now, that's amazing stuff, that somebody is smart enough to build an airplane that will do all of that. Orville and Wilbur Wright must be rolling over in their graves just going, please book us on one of those flights. You know, they would love to just see what this is like. I also have to tell you, and I mentioned this on the radio show probably 3 months ago, the windows on this plane do not have pull-down shades. They have a button that you use to tint the windows. Make it darker, make it lighter. It's a tinting process. And I just thought that was a phenomenal thing. But anyway, you land at Charles de Gaulle Airport, and here I am thinking I'm king of the world and I've got plenty of money to do what I want, and all of a sudden I don't have squat, and I've got a guest with me, right? So, you know, thank heavens for some little bit of cash I had in my wallet. I walked down the terminal. I bought a European power connector. Had to buy 2 of them. The first one didn't work, and they gave me the wrong one. Second one worked, and I needed to charge my phone. My phone was running out of juice. Without a phone, you're dead. So I finally got that solved. I charged up the phone. I was supposed to be at the Paris Temple at 4 o'clock. We landed at about 1:30. I was still in the airport at 4 o'clock trying to figure out how to get some money freed up and make this work. So eventually we got to Paris. I'm going to stick with this little outline. I'm not going to do this so much in chronological order, but it was a sheer blast to see the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, to get out at the Eiffel Tower, to drive down the Champs-Élysées to see the Cathedral of Notre Dame, and that was all in the first few hours after we arrived. I then, to get a hotel room, I went to my app on Wyndham, because I'm a Wyndham Resorts member, a Diamond member of their, you know, frequent flyer point thing, rewards program, and I always look for hotels because it will allow me to either use points or partial points to book a room. I booked a room at a hotel called the H4 Hotel. It is a high rise. It has about 40 stories. They ended up putting us on the 36th floor. I used some of my points and then the rest of it on a debit card, which I was a little scared of because a lot of hotels won't take a debit card, but that's all I had at this point. And they were fine, and I made sure they knew right off the bat that I was a Diamond Club member, which is the highest one you can be. And they didn't ask for, they just took a $50 deposit, and they didn't say anything about a debit or credit card. And I thought, thank heavens, I got by this one. But we had a great time seeing that. And then they put us on the 36th floor, and it faces south. And as you look south from that wonderful height, you're looking right at the Eiffel Tower, right at the Notre Dame Cathedral. And the rest of the city is laid out beautifully as well. And then the sun goes down and they light up the Eiffel Tower, and it's just spectacular. So things started to turn around kind of quick, and that was good. I also need to do a shout out for PayPal, because I had some money in PayPal. When you take payments through PayPal, sometimes they will limit how much they will make available to you to use that same month. Sometimes they'll hold stuff for 2 or 3 weeks or something. And I had about $800 on hold from a transaction that we did, 10 days earlier. A guy bought some junk removal from us. We did the job about 3 days after he bought it. It was all done. It was all completed. I called PayPal. I got somebody on the phone, explained the situation, and asked if they could release that money so I could transfer it to my debit card so I could have some money to use with my card. A wonderful guy at PayPal said, yep, we can do that, no problem. He did it in about 2 minutes, and I was thrilled. So now I actually had access to some money. It was just on a debit card, not a credit card. But at least I had access to some money. So that worked. And I was thrilled. That allowed me to get the hotel room and to pay for the Uber and all that stuff to get around town. So things were looking a little bit better. I will tell you that I went out to get some food a couple of nights ago. Maybe it was even last night. Actually, it was last night. I went out to get some food and walked up and down about 10 o'clock at night, just the streets of Paris near where I was staying, and eventually just walked into basically a bar with the open seating outside kind of thing, and there was nobody there. I asked the bartender, "Are you still open?" He said, "Yeah." And there was a gentleman there who I think is the proprietor or the owner of the establishment, who, when I asked him about, what kind of food do you have, what do you recommend? I think he said couscous, or maybe it was couscous or something like that. I'm going to call it couscous. And I couldn't have told you what that was, but he just said, it's really good. I went, okay. So I carried home two big bags of this stuff for about $40. I had two large bowls of potato and other vegetable soup. I had two large containers of, I'm going to call it small rice. I'm not even sure what it's technically called. Maybe that's the couscous or whatever. But the small rice, I had two basically large chicken breasts that had been baked. And I had about six large sausage rolls, so to speak, links. And I brought that all home. We threw in a couple of cans of Coca-Cola. And that was dinner. I basically made, and it was hot, I basically made my way through the big bowl with all the potato stuff, and it was great, but it was really hot. But boy, after I ate that, I was not hungry for anything. I was in good shape, and I just crashed for the night and loved it. But I mentioned that restaurant because here I am, catching on to the idea that it's all about bonjour, it's all about merci beaucoup. And I'm starting to try to converse very basically in French, because that's what everybody else speaks, right? So I'm trying to do that. And this wonderful proprietor at 10 o'clock at night of this restaurant just made me feel like the most important customer in the world to him. And maybe I was at that point. I was pretty much his only customer that late at night. But he was just marvelous, and he was friendly, and he was kind, and he said, we'll take care of you. We're happy to help you out. He could have said, sorry, we're closed. And you couldn't have argued against that because of the time of night that it was. But instead, I headed home with great stuff, great food. And I had a new friend in France, right? And it's just one of those wonderful human interactions between two strangers who quickly become friends because you helped each other out. He getting me some food late at night, me giving his restaurant a few bucks in exchange for the food. So it was just a wonderful experience of good human nature in Paris, France, that I didn't expect. And I was quite thrilled with that experience. And again, as you can tell, I'm just having a time of my life doing this. And the whole reason I'm relating this story is because I'm trying to suggest that life is an adventure. And if you want to get some of the junk out of your life, go do something fun and exciting that is a passion for you and have an adventure along the way, even during the tough times. If you can overcome the tough times, it makes you an even better person. And you look back on the tough times and you'll think, you know what, I've been in that situation before. I can get out of it again. And it gives you a lot of confidence. So this morning at somewhere around 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I guess it was, I took off on a 17-mile Uber ride to go to the Paris, France temple. The temples are the most important buildings to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have 375 of them around the world, either completed or under construction or in the planning phase. They tell me these are all paid with cash. There's no financing on these. So I've been told that for decades, so I'll throw that out there as well. But this Paris, France temple is the only temple in France, I believe. And I've told a friend of mine, you know, that's traveling with me, that that's the most spiritual building in France, you know. And it was. So I went there this morning. I did some work inside that is just really important work that you do. And the work that was done was all being said in French, except for a third gentleman who was helping me out. There was a little team of three guys helping me out. The third guy spoke English as well. And so because he knew that I was an English speaker, he said his part in English. The other two did their part in French. Well, you can imagine how much that meant to me, that he would go above and beyond the call of duty to speak to me in my native tongue when he didn't have to, right? I just thought that was tremendous. And I thought, what a great guy. He wrote down his, I asked him to write down his name for me. I thanked him for making me feel right at home. And it was one of those little personal touches that somebody does for you that makes you feel right at home. It makes you feel like all is well, right? And it was just a great thing. A total stranger did something kind in trying to make me feel more comfortable. And I had him write down his name so that I could remember it. The other thing I want to just mention is the culminating place in these temples, and this is public knowledge, so I'm not telling you anything I shouldn't have, is a room called the Celestial Room. The Celestial Room represents making it back to heaven to be with God. And it is decorated as such. Some of the finest furniture, draperies, stained glass, etchings on the walls, chandeliers, all of that. We spare no expense to make this exquisite. And it's a particularly unique thing when you are going through the building. You have the opportunity to go into this room, kind of the culmination of your journey through the building, so to speak. But something unique happened today, and that was that I was the only person in that room. There were no temple workers who are usually there to just assist people like me. It was me and that room alone, and that room represents making it back to be with God. So guess how I felt? I felt like it's me and God in one of his homes in this beautiful room, and it doesn't get any better than that. It brought a tear to my eye when I just looked around this incredible room, and I just realized I'm the only person in here right now. It makes you feel like it's only about you, and that God is focused 100% just on you for a few minutes, right? Well, that's a good feeling. That's a wonderful feeling. So I was sitting in that room today, kind of got this morning, got a little tear in my eye. It was just a wonderful experience, and I appreciated that a great deal. Let me go back to some of the beginnings here. I've got a friend who's traveling here with me who didn't have a passport. And when I brought up the idea about a week ago, I said, hey, you should come with me. This would be fun. And they said, well, but I don't have a passport. And I, as I recalled a few years ago when I went and renewed mine because I had lost it, and I had to replace it, actually, not renew it. I had to replace it. We have a U.S. passport agency right in downtown Washington, one of the benefits of living in D.C. You can go down there. You can fill out the forms. You can. I called their number, I think, on a Wednesday. They had an appointment on a Thursday morning the next day. I've had friends of mine who are clients who had to get their passport done, and the fastest they could get an appointment was in Houston, and these people lived in Virginia, and the guy flew to Houston to get his passport done, right? This passport agency has helped me out personally a couple of times, helped my friend out. You go down Thursday, you fill out the forms, you pay the fee, you pay for expedited service. It's like an extra $60, I think, for expedited service. If everything looks good, they basically say, okay, come back tomorrow, Friday, between 11 and 3, we'll have your passport for you. So my friend all of a sudden got a passport that they didn't think they were going to be able to get. Well, with that passport, now you're deadly. Now you can go on the trip, and they had always wanted to go to Switzerland, right, as well as some other places, but you can't do it without a passport. Well, they're here now in Switzerland as I'm speaking doing this. So I have to sing the praises of the U.S. Passport Agency and tell you a funny thing that happened real quick, and then we'll take another break. While I'm there with this friend, I'm kind of looking around the area, and there are some small bottles of water unopened positioned at a couple of different places around this facility. I make the assumption that that's for the public in case somebody wants a drink. So over behind us, there was two of them were sitting over there. One had been opened. One was still sealed, and it was a small one. Thinking that they were for the customers like me, I picked up the small one, unscrewed it, and started to drink. In a few minutes, a lady in her uniform who works at the passport agency looked at me and said, "Sir, where did you get that water?" And I pointed to where the other one was still sitting. I said, right over there. And she goes, "That's my water." And I went, oh, crap. She's official. I'm on her turf. And I just screwed this up. And I basically said, "I am so sorry. I apologize, et cetera." Well, after we did our part to get the passport, you know, picked up, we went around the corner, got something to eat. I bought a large bottled water there. I went back into the passport agency. And I showed her, and I dropped it off for this wonderful lady, and she got a big kick out of that. So, point being, I guess, sometimes if you screw up, you can make up for it by just doing the right thing and being a nice guy, and that's what I tried to do. So, she laughed, I laughed, everybody won, and I stocked her with water for probably at least 3 or 4 days. I'm coming to you from, this is your host, Alan Cook, the Junk Refund Show, talking about how to get the junk out of your life. I'm coming to you from the Hotel Ambassador Foyer in Bern, Switzerland. Doing the Junk Refund Show from Bern, Switzerland, which I'm thrilled to do. And it's on the BBS Radio Network. These guys are terrific to be on the show or to host the show and to come up with the network and the whole deal. If you want to do a radio show, it's never been easier than it is now. Contact me, and I'll put you in touch with these guys at BBS Radio TV, and you too can be doing a show live from the hotel foyer in Bern, Switzerland, or anywhere else that you want to go. I'll be back here in just a minute. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do the last segment of the show.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back. This is Alan Cook, host of the Junk Refund Show, doing the show tonight live from the Hotel Ambassador lobby in Bern, Switzerland, where I am on a quick four-day trip that will culminate tomorrow night when I fly back to the United States. But I'm just here telling you about what I've learned, what I've been up against, what I've seen, because these kind of adventures are a little bit rare, and I think there's a lot to learn from them. I have to do a shout out to the Schwab company, Charles Schwab company. I have a brokerage account with them. And any time that you're in a financial pickle, you can get on your phone and you can wire some money. Basically, you can borrow some money against your securities in your account, and you can wire some money to your checking account in about 30 minutes. And I did that last night or yesterday afternoon. When all of a sudden my funds got low, I called PayPal and got some money switched over, contrary to their normal procedure, which was great, just to be safe. I sent some more money over from the brokerage account, so I had plenty of money to cover everything, and I didn't have to worry about that anymore. Hats off to the Schwab people who, on their app, allow you to transfer money that quickly from around the world. That was a big help as well, and they deserve a shout-out for just the good company that they are and the way that they helped me, again, out of a pickle. I do have to do a shout-out to the Eurail people. We're here traveling on Eurail passes. I bought one that is good for 15 days of travel in a two-month period of time. I bought my friend one that is good for 4 days of travel in a one-month period of time. Mine costs about $500. The other one costs about $300. As you figure out, you know, where you're traveling to and what you're going to do, it's a pretty effective way to get around Europe. So that's one of the things that we're doing, and it has worked really well. Hats off to the Eurail Pass people. And I've talked about the front of the restaurant, the Wyndham Hotels. The train system in Europe is fabulous. It's clean. It's active. It's healthy. I will say one thing, though. When we got on one of the trains, a local train to just run us around through Paris, my friend made the mistake of putting their foot up on the seat in front of them where you have a cabin of seats and, you know, one side faces the other side. They put their foot up on that fabric, and a train officer walked onto the train, saw the foot, and said, "I'm sorry, but there's a fine for doing that. You can't. It's illegal in France to put your feet up on the seat. It's a $60 fine, and I need to collect that now, or if you wait later, it'll be $120. Now, it was presented to us fairly rudely, you got to be honest with you. And I sat and I thought, well, don't you tell people the rule first, and then if they break it, then they know what the rules are. But that doesn't work. That doesn't work there. If you put your foot up, you've screwed up, and it's an immediate fine. And she said, there's nothing I can do about it. You either pay it now, or you're going to pay it later. It's going to double if you pay it later. So there you are. Now it's got to be legit. I mean, I don't think any lady's just coming up with a way to make some extra cash on the side for her. But be careful not to put your feet up on the seat cushion across from you if you're riding a Eurail train. That's the only bad experience that we've had so far with them. And that's an unknown. I mean, I know what the rule is now. But other than that, it's worked out really well, been very efficient. The Eurail people have an app you download, you put your passes on. You then just go in and plan your trip. It tells you all the stops. It gives you all the platform numbers. It gives you very detailed information. And then there you go. And you then pull up your pass. They scan your pass, and you're good. It's quite a system. And the last time I rode these trains, back in 1979, for an extended period of time, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, you know, anything like this that you can use. It was all paper-based, and nobody scanned anything because they didn't know how to do it. But times have progressed and times are good, and it's quite amazing. So anyway, hats off to the folks in Europe. The train system in Europe is fabulous. We had a train that was delayed today a little bit, and boy, within 10 minutes, another one was there ready to pick us up. And the system is just quite amazing, and I feel like I'm getting better and better at it as I go, just to figure out how to do it. I got to tell you something about the H4 Hotel in Paris, about a 40-story hotel. When you check in there, they give you a room key that looks like it's kind of been had a few holes punched in the middle of it. That room key, when you go over to the elevator, I did this 3 or 4 times before I figured out how this really works. The elevators to the lower floors are on the right side of the building. The elevators to the higher floors are on the left. So you go over to the left one, and all you do is you take the key and you scan it like you'd scan a credit card, or like you'd tap it, really. You just tap it on the elevator, and it gives you access and immediately requests the elevator to take you up, in our case, to the 36th floor, right? I would walk up, and it's got a keypad, an illuminated keypad above it with numbers on it, and I thought you had to key in, 36, and then tap it with the key and whatever. Not so. All you have to do is tap the spot with the key, and it immediately summons the closest elevator for you. They'll take you up. And when the elevator shows up and the door is open, your floor, 36, is highlighted right inside the doorway of the elevator. So if I tap it and it's going to take me up to 36 and somebody else taps it and it's going to take him up to 40, it will show those floors illuminated based on who tapped it first. So it'll tell you, okay, we're going up to 40, then we're going to 36, or maybe it does it so it'll drop us off in order, I guess, even if the 40 guy got in first. It'll stop at 36 first. That's what it'll do. But all you have to do is tap it. That's it. I thought it was harder. I thought there was more to it, but there isn't. And it's really kind of a cool system. So anyway, a lot of this stuff that is a little different than what I'm accustomed to is fun. It takes you a little bit of time to learn it sometimes, but once you learn it, you're off and running with some new stuff, and it just has been such a fun time to do this. I got to do a shout out for AT&T, and we'll talk a little bit more about the junk removal business. While I've been gone for 2 days, I have AT&T as my phone provider. I sometimes wonder, am I paying too much for my phone service with 3 or 4 different devices I have that I use, iPads and phones and stuff like that. But I'll tell you, I am here in Switzerland and France, and people are calling me and texting me and emailing me like I'm right back in Maryland. And I can return their calls. They can call me. We can have conversations. There's not an issue of, I get dropped, something, wherever. I mean, it's really an amazing thing. And on the train down here to Bern, a lady asked a realtor, called, left a message, and then texted me asking about a special deal that I did back on the 4th of July. I made 5 house cleanouts for up to 5 box trucks full of stuff available at a really good discount. Normally it's around $3,500 for 5 of those trucks. I made it available for $2,025 to celebrate the year that we're in. And I do this every year for whatever year it is, and make a limited number of these things available at a really good discount. So instead of $3,500, you do it for a little over $2,000, you save $1,500. Well, a good friend of mine, a realtor named Stephanie, had contacted me about a hoarder that she had and what to do about this hoarder's house. She sent me a bunch of photos. We're just texting back and forth as though I was back in North Bethesda, Maryland. I mean, it's that easy. And we're having a conversation, and I said, your client should buy a couple of these vouchers that are on a first-come, first-served basis. He should buy you should buy one for $2,000, and you get $3,500 of junk removal done. He's going to need at least 5 truckloads once I looked at the pictures. Then I got back to her and said, you know what? I think he needs 2 of them. There's only 4 left. I made 5 available. We sold 1 so far. I'm kind of surprised the other 4 are still around. But I said, he really ought to buy two of them, because then, based on your photos with two of these, with 10 truckloads of stuff, I can guarantee that we'll get the whole place cleaned out. And he has a buyer interested who said, look, I'll buy it without you cleaning out all the stuff. But, of course, they're going to ask for a discounted price because they now have to deal with all the stuff. I made the argument to Stephanie that what she really ought to do is have this guy buy two of these for $4,000. That way he gets $7,000 worth of hauling. We go in and haul away 10 box trucks full of junk, which should be enough to cover this house. If it's not, I'm not really worried about it. We'll deal with that later. And then you raise the price $10,000 or $20,000 because there's no cluttering junk sitting in the house that is knocking the price of the house down by $20,000 or $30,000. So my point was, invest $4,000 with us and then raise the price of the home by $20,000 and get $16,000 back on your investment, because now you've taken away the eyesore. Now nobody can come in and try to lowball you because of the condition of the property, because you took care of the condition of the property. And I'm getting, it's like I'm back in Maryland, just getting calls every day from around the country and from local people and stuff. Some people have a Groupon they want to, you know, redeem and get their job done. Other people are calling us to haul away scrap metal. Other people are calling us, like Stephanie's client and her, calling us about doing a whole house clean out. But all of those calls are coming through. I can check voicemail. I can text people back. I can send photos. They can send me photos. And most of these people don't know I'm in Europe. And there's no reason to tell them, right? So it just is kind of an amazing thing that you can take your phone around the world with you and still conduct business like you're right back at home doing business like you normally would be doing it. That's an amazing thing with technology. You know, you couldn't do that in the 1800s or even the early 1900s or even 30 years ago. You couldn't do that. But you can today. And I guess the summation of this experience that I'm on right now, being over in Europe for a couple of days, plus doing work without stopping, you know, et cetera, is a salute to the idea that there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. This is as good as it gets, and it is fabulous. And, I mean, look at what I'm doing, sitting here just having the time of my life and getting some good spiritual education, conducting business at the same time. I love to travel. I'm doing that. And I'm back here in Bern, Switzerland, where I had such a great memory back when I was 21 that I will relive when I'm up at that temple tomorrow morning. I don't know how you can go wrong here. It's just fabulous. So I guess what I would say is live your dreams, have a passion for your dreams, go after whatever it is that turns you on, and don't worry about what someone else thinks of it. That's irrelevant. Just believe in what you're doing and go live your dreams. You know, you get one shot at life. I hope when it's all said and done that you look back on it, not with any regrets, but with a big smile on your face saying, man, that was a great adventure. I really took advantage of that one, and that was fabulous, right? Because that's what you deserve for all the, you know, ups and downs and uncertainties and the things that you go through in life. You deserve some of these situations where you're going to look back on it and just have a blast. If you would like to read, by the way, of my visit to the Paris Temple, and I'll write one of these blog posts tomorrow for the Bern, Switzerland Temple, the website that you go to is Church of Jesus Christ TempleTrek.com. No spaces. Church of Jesus Christ TempleTrek.com. And you'll see all of my posts in chronological order from when I started back in 2017 doing this little adventure stuff. And my goal was to go visit two of these every month. And by golly, I've pretty much done that, and I've been to all of these in the United States. I've been to all of them in Canada. Lo and behold, I'm now in Europe, starting to visit some here, and I'm just having a blast doing it. So I hope this information has been fun to listen to. I hope it's been helpful. If you have a house that needs to be cleaned out or an office that's going to need multiple truckloads of stuff to get it done, you should go to our website and look for the page that says 2025 on it. Read through there. We've got four of these house cleanouts available. They are good in the continental United States. Same price if you're in California as it is if you're in Maryland. And we travel around the country really cheaply thanks to our friends at Frontier Airlines and some other airlines. So we don't care where you live. We're happy to help you out. If it's a little job, we'll send our affiliates. We have 62 affiliates around the country. We'll send them to come and haul away your stuff. If it's a big job where you might need some stuff to sell, I will come myself and either bring some guys with me or just hire some labor locally. But you can get the same service around the country as if you lived in the Washington, D.C. area. So anyway, take a look at that stuff. Life is great. You can email us at the show at junkrefund@gmail.com. You can call our number, 240-246-5405, if you want to get my cell phone live. And we just really have a lot of fun having an adventure in life, which I'm doing right now from Bern, Switzerland. So thanks for everybody. Thanks to Don and Doug Newsom, our producers, for doing the show, always making sure we get on the phone Thursday afternoons at 3 o'clock Eastern to do the show. And we hope we will help you get some of the junk out of your homes and also out of your lives. And if you catch yourself in Bern, Switzerland sometime, call me up and say thanks. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.